Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lairness, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Dream it. We were dancing on the water, did you feel it? Time stood still whenever it was you and me. Now everything is changing suddenly. And I remember in the desert when you said I'm yours for life. Your blood running in my veins, I think about it all the time. I guess I just assumed that you were mine. Someone just here to say goodbye. But will you give me a night, give me a night, give me a night, so I can keep the vision of you in front of my mind, most of my life. And we'll be drunk to karaoke, dancing to the way you look tonight. So just give me one more night.
Who would have thought the movie directed by PJ Hogan, I think an Australian film director, in 1997, 25 English years ago, would have actually inspired a piece of wonderful music from Beck's called One More Night. My Best Friend's Wedding was, of course, the movie. I don't think Jessica Mertes will probably be aware of that, or maybe she is. I don't know. But Jessica, over in North Carolina, what are your thoughts on the track we've just heard, which is Beck's, of course, and One More Night?
I think it was a very fun song. It's very, very, I feel like, just the most classic form of pop that I could think of, where it's just bubbly and danceable. And I was reading that Beck took inspiration from musicians like Lady Gaga, and I feel like that's very apparent in the track. And it has a short, the lyrics are short, but they're very, they tell a story. And I kind of would love to hear her thoughts on the specific inspiration behind that, because it kind of sounds like, you know, a romance that's not quite a romance. So I feel like it suits pop very well. I feel like pop is one of the best genres to tell those kinds of stories through. So it's very fun.
kind of echoes what we were talking about in terms of the recent book of the month that we looked at, called Anxious People, and people dealing with challenges and so on. I mean, the theme to My Best Friend's Wedding, which of course starred Julia Roberts and Dermot Mulroney, was all about when a woman's longtime friend reveals he's engaged, she realizes she loves him herself, and sets out to get him with only days before the wedding. So again, you could say almost a timeless tale of life itself, opening up a whole new range of things there.
Yes, I think it's a tale that has been told over and over, but each time I love seeing what unique spin is put on this kind of story.
A tale as old as time. Now, where did I actually hear that in a Disney movie? I don't know. Maybe Kathy Mansour will tell us. I think it might have been Beauty and the Beast. Kathy, we're waiting for Bex to hopefully enter into the system. I know she's been suffering COVID, so hopefully she's recovered from that. I think she said she was okay and was gearing up for the whole process. If only she'd actually have... For a moment, I thought Jessica was eating a carrot there, but I don't think it is a carrot, because I'm not sure whether she will actually be sort of healthy. No.
A delightful summer treat.
It's a delightful summer treat. Very, very well phrased there, Kathy. but still, what the hey. Kathy, what did you make of Bex? And in fact, have you seen My Best Friend's Wedding, first and foremost?
Have I seen... You mean the song?
The movie.
Movie. Okay, My Best Friend's... No. Yeah. Or I have, but it's been like...
It's a long time ago, and much as Julia Roberts movies tend to actually resonate and really connect with us in so many ways, maybe it's just not appropriate in this particular case to go for that. So you have heard, of course, the song One More Night. What did you make of it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was fun. It was a good time. I also appreciated that I got to read the lyrics along with it. But it's a fun car jam. You know, I could definitely hear myself driving down the road and just kind of like nodding around with it.
Well, certainly it's interesting that hot on the heels, of course, of another classic Bex number that she produced a couple of years back, which actually led her into the Future Sound of Nottingham 2022 finals. That was Hard to Love. We're going to hear that in a few moments. Bex certainly seems to be, in the words of the immortal press release, rapidly heading towards an exciting future. And even the police are actually chasing after her. No, they're in the background there. It's all part and parcel of the outside location world of life and various other bits and pieces. I was interested in terms of, obviously, the notion of taking inspiration from, indeed, the 1997 movie My Best Friend's Wedding. And I was just wondering, Jessica, are there any movies that you feel you would be inspired to write a musical ode to or a tribute to?
You know, I feel like a lot of the movies I watch, I don't tend to prefer musicals, but I do appreciate a good movie score. I feel like a lot of the ones that I would think would kind of inspire such interesting music already have great songs. But I'm thinking of like the original Star Wars. I think that would probably inspire such cool styles of music, because you could do something older, kind of like the clothing styles in the film, or you could do something like sci-fi, like space oriented, but it already has a great soundtrack.
That's intriguing. That's I mean, for a moment, I thought you might have actually gone to Darn Catwoman and Scat Catwoman from the Batman 66 series, but maybe not. What about you?
It's a pretty good number in that one already.
There are indeed two classic numbers by Leslie Gore, though. In fact, we might throw in a Leslie Gore number in a few moments with It's My Party. And I'll cry if I want to. Kathy, what about yourself? Movies that might have inspired songs, or that might, if you were falling down, I mean, you've got a musical background yourself, so has there ever been a time when you've seen a movie and pretty much, as Bex has actually said in this particular area, you know, you've been so inspired by it, you thought, okay, I want to write an ode to this movie?
You know, it's hard to think of an ode to write to a movie, but I have definitely been inspired by films. And I think I always think about the soundtracks and how you can even add more to the soundtrack, I guess. And I always go back to Guardians of the Galaxy has like this killer soundtrack of just solid oldies and even a little bit of more things that are just coming up. And I just always thought like they should create a song for them, like using the same inspiration and just making it today.
Just referring to the official line of One More Night, according to Bex, the song is from Julianne's perspective in My Best Friend's Wedding, but it's also from Bex's perspective as well, because even though she was in a relationship that wasn't healthy, she really just wanted one more perfect night with the person before she had to cut them loose. Sounds as though it could be a whole new range of things, pretty much tying in with, of course, another important and signifying soul, the Love Island series, which, Kathy, you've become a secret fan of. And in fact, to such an extent, you've become such a secret fan of it that I have actually given you a name check when I actually did a feature, which is following this little interview with Shauna from series 6 of Love Island. The first time I've actually had to do an interview with a series where I basically only ever watched 15 minutes in its entirety, but clearly I didn't let Shauna know that. I clearly worked through that so that when she actually uttered those immortal words in season 6, congratulations, hun, I kind of said, well, that was a wow moment. But anyway, Kathy, back to the point in terms of music that might have inspired you, apart from Guardians of the Galaxy and so on, or indeed Love Island.
First of all, I just can't believe that we're using the opportunity now to sell me out on Love Island.
if Bex isn't here because she's suffering from COVID, we have to, you know, put in a whole range of things in terms of a useful substitute. And I figure that when in doubt, call in Shauna from Love Island, season 6.
Oh man, so I have to be honest, I've only seen, so I'm watching the season now, like, so because I've gotten involved and it's happening, but thank you, Jessica, I'm glad you're also guilty of watching it too. And I've only seen last season, I mean, I don't think it was last season, but not the winter one, but the summer one, where it includes the cast of like Amber, Tommy, Curtis, just to name, and seeing Jessica's face, she recognizes it. And I was under good authority. This is how I should be introduced to Love Island. And let me tell you, they did not disappoint. I was shocked to see the emotional range of the famous, I guess. I mean, and they're famous but not famous, which brings up this whole other thing. I really think it should be a case study. I think people could write dissertations off this. I think there's a lot of levels and there's a lot of cruelty, but I mean, what would you do, Alex, for £50,000? What would you do?
I think you'd have to add a couple of noughts in terms of that before you'd get me to commit to Love Island. But, you know, maybe I'd actually ask Bex to actually write a song about it. We're going to talk more Love Island after we've actually heard from, indeed, Bex once again. This, of course, was her debut single. This is Hard to Love.
Never loved nobody like you. It's like a reflex when I'm reaching out for you. Chemistry, I'm not denying, but I know I can be trying. I get convinced you wanna leave me. I know I'm needy, can you put my mind at ease? Yeah, I've been erratic lately. It's 'cause your loving makes me crazy. Makes me feel worthless. Oh, and I always thought we had something worth fighting for. But every time you hurt me, I don't feel so sure. You tell your friends that I'm a psycho, and now you're looking for a fight. So I oblige, others fight and come back stronger. I don't think I can do this for much longer.
X and Hard to Love. Hard to Love Love Island, one might well say. Okay, it's taken a slight turn for creativity in all sorts of ways here. But let's actually go to Jessica and indeed Kathy. I mean, Jessica, are you looking at the current series? Are you aware of characters like Luca Bish, Jacques O'Neill, and indeed Dami Hope?
So the current Love Island season? So I am. I had to figure out a way that I could tune in because I watched the pre-COVID two seasons, which Kathy mentioned did not disappoint in the slightest at all. It's such entertaining trash and I can't help myself. I'm sorry. So I am keeping up with this season, but I need to catch up. I've just been so busy, but you know, this is giving me a good excuse. I need to report it back to the radio. Definitely. That's why I'm going to watch it.
Clearly. Apparently, it would seem that in terms of the females taking part, Paige Thorne is actually receiving 25% of the vote for a recent Vodafone study, followed by Gemma Owen, son and daughter of Michael Owen, of course, 19%, and then Amber Beckford, who's actually involved with respect to that as well. Luca Bish, as I say, is in pole position. But as I say, you could be talking about horses in the Royal Ascot event, as far as I'm actually concerned with respect to this. But, Kathy, do those words and names mean anything to you, good self?
Yes, they do. I'm very involved now. it's interesting. I think the big controversy out of those names that you've talked about is Gemma, since she's the daughter of a famous footballer, and just that she's very young.
Or soccer player, Kathy, to be precise.
But yeah, that's the big controversy, at least according to Twitter, is that Gemma is 19 years old. She's really, I mean, and it is pretty young to put someone, but I mean, she's legal. So I think people just kind of have to get over that. She's legally allowed to be there. So, and I think what's also shocking was that the first person that she ended up coupling with after our beloved Liam, once you get to see Liam, Jessica, he was like a saint who left. And he left after the first week. He didn't stay. He was like, I'm too good for this. And he didn't say that because he was a kind-hearted soul. but she ended up getting coupled with Davide, who is a model who's 27. So the age gap is there, which Twitter definitely did get into it. And then
you say that, Kathy, but what about autumn spring romances? I mean, surely that's writ large. Look at Joan Collins.
You know, I don't make the rules, Alex. Love happens how love happens. And I guess Gemma needed that 27-year-old. But don't worry, she's no longer with the 27-year-old. Luca's come on in to take her away, who is, I don't remember his age. I know he's under 24, so.
Okay, well, as I say, we'll find out from Shauna what she makes of the whole process coming up after we've had another airing for the Bex song. We'll do a little final review with respect to Bex herself. Sadly, unable to make it today. But then again, that's not surprising. Sometimes musicians, the first time around, they get very nervous and then they come along and we throw them into the Midweek Drive Live and they have a whole new experience. But there we are. That's part of the whole thing. Already a key presence on TikTok. She's put together over 2.2 million views, it would seem, with respect to that. And indeed is in the Future Sound of Nottingham 2022 finals. We heard her debut single, Hard to Love. Kathy, let's give a score out of 10, because obviously we like to quantify the qualitative on this particular aspect. What score out of 10 would you give One More Night, which we're just about to check out for the second time?
Oh, for me, I definitely would give it a 8 out of 10. I was thinking 7.5, but I'll give it an 8 out of 10 because honestly, you know, that's what good pop does. Gets you out of your head and just lets you jam along with it, you know?
And the video will be released shortly. Jessica, what about yourself?
I actually agree completely with an 8. I think it was a fun song that I could dance to. And I think that it's good if you need to kind of put yourself in a peppy mood, if you need some happiness.
Well, there we are, Bex. Clearly a winner from that point of view. We can't put those last two questions to Bex, but we can obviously put them to Kathy and Jessica as key Midweek Drive outs. Kathy, have you had a reasonably interesting Midweek Drive connection with us on this Bex Review Show plus Love Island Extra Bonus?
Oh, I did. all filled with surprises.
Well, it gets even better because following all of that, we're also following on the Festival of Robotics, which is now in its seventh year. And we have Professor Robert. Yes, I'm not kidding you. Professor Robert is in charge of robotics, Robert the Robot. But he'll be following that after, of course, we've had our connections once again with Shauna from Indeed Love Island. Season six, of course, with the classic phrase, I might as well just sort of pull it up one more time, that she actually uttered, which, I mean, I'm not sure whether you caught season six, but this was apparently one of the second in the top three all-time moments was voted by Love Island fans the day when Shauna said, "Congrats, hun," when ditched by Callum for Molly. Doesn't mean a thing to me, but there we are. Apparently the third most popular moment was in season three, and that was the dramatic relationship between Chris and Olivia, with the first position, the most popular all-time moment as voted by Love Island fans was season five, when Curtis dumped Amy just as she was ready to declare her love for him.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
There you go. That is number one. To Kathy Manso, to Jessica Burtis, who, as far as I'm aware, aren't going to be heading off to Love Island in the near future. Who knows what could happen? I certainly won't be, unless, of course, you add a few extra noughts onto the whole system. For now, keep on keeping on. And here's Bex with One More Night.
Did I dream it? We were dancing on the water, did you feel it? Time stood still whenever it was you and me. Now everything is changing suddenly. And I remember in the desert when you said I'm yours for life. Your blood running in my veins, I think about it all the time. I guess I just assumed that you were mine.
That you're unfamiliar with names Amber Beckford, Gemma Owen, Dami Hope, or indeed Jack O'Neill. I don't know why that would be the case, because clearly you should obviously be watching Love Island and should be well aware of that. And otherwise, how could you possibly actually respond to a poll by Vodafone, who recently spoke to 2,000 Love Island viewers, to actually find out what people would most miss? Well, we can take it a couple of stages further, because we could actually go to probably one of the best Love Island contestants ever from Series 6, of course. It's the fabulous Shauna Phillips. How are you, Shauna?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I love that intro.
Well, really great to connect with your good self. And I must admit, I was fascinated to hear that once you knew you were appearing on the show, you had to go through a whole Christmas without any quality street whatsoever, which is outrageous.
But honestly, the longest Christmas of my life, and I will never do it again.
Well, there you go. Now, it seems on the one hand to be a fabulous dream, you know, hot Mallorcan sun, amazing views, an incredible pool and a fully stocked bar. But it's interesting that this survey by Vodafone suggested that actually one in 10 would actually be concerned about missing their bed. About 44% said they'd most miss their bed. So, Shauna, what did you most miss about the outside world?
I missed being able just to scroll on my phone aimlessly, which is so sad and just kind of just sums up my generation in a nutshell, probably. But just being able just to sit there and just do nothing is definitely what I miss, and music.
Well, that's fair to say, because 37% will be lost without Wi-Fi in this survey, the internet and social media, of course. So you're tapping into that whole basis. I mean, yeah. It sounds more as though it's a kind of endurance test as opposed to anything else from that point of view. But again, presumably you're taking one for the team, basically.
Yeah, and do you know what? I can 100% resonate with that, because I have just moved into a cabin in my mum's garden, and I didn't realise until Love Island started and I tried to watch it in the cabin that my mum's internet didn't stretch as far. And it was kind of panic stations. And I was thinking, how on earth? I can't even stream it down here, which is where I kind of fell into the Vodafone full fibre broadband, which is so flexible, can fit into 8 million homes, and is £200 cheaper than their competitors. So, I mean, if you're looking for a reliable broadband to watch Love Island all summer long, that is your go-to.
I mean, that clearly does actually open up a whole range of things, with a number of people actually rating number 7.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being completely frustrated. They'd rate 7.5 when asked how they'd feel if their internet went down just before the dramatic moments actually existed. How could people have ever coped back in season 6 if they didn't actually see you saying, congrats, hon? You know,
can you imagine? Can you imagine what they would have been kind of... They wouldn't have even realised all of the memes that were going on. They would have had no idea what it all meant if their internet dropped. And that's a travesty.
Yeah. Well, thank heavens the Vodafone are actually on the case. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Let's move on to your own thoughts on this particular series and so on. Gemma Owen, I would say, could be a useful outside best. Certainly her father wasn't that keen on her going into the whole experience, it would seem. But then again, you know, she's not really a footballer, but there we are. What are your thoughts in terms of how it's panning out, and who do you think are possibly going to be getting the, I mean, this is the official thing, who will be Shauna's top tips?
Yeah, so I really like Paige. I think she is an absolute golden girl, and I would love her to go on and win it. But I just don't know who she would win it with yet. Maybe her Prince Charming is still waiting in the sidelines, waiting to go on. But I'm also a big, big Ekin-Su fan. She is bringing the drama, and I mean, I love to watch her. I wake up in the mornings and hope that she had a good night's sleep.
Yeah, that does seem to be one of the sort of key aspects within that. Amber Beckford, is she sort of in the running at all, would you say?
I don't know whether I am fully sold on her and Dami as a couple. I missed yesterday's episode, so I need to catch up on that. And I'm not sure whether she might be feeling one of the new guys, Remy. So that remains to be seen. And I mean, if they hit it off, then maybe so. But I'm just not sure on her and Dami as kind of a couple just yet.
And it seems with 25% of the vote, Luca Bish is certainly well ahead when it comes to the male vote from that point of view.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily for me, but maybe that is just because he is also bringing the drama. I mean, it would be pretty boring without him, I suppose. He kind of likes to stir a little bit, and as a viewer, that's what we want to watch.
one of my students, Kathy Manso, who's actually originally from Miami and is a postgraduate student at the University of Lincoln, has become addicted to Love Island. She hadn't actually encountered it before coming over to Britain. And that would seem that she certainly got that in common with the fact that 70% of us are watching every single episode religiously. Would it be fair to say that from your own point of view, Shauna, you're one of those 70%?
100%. I kind of try and do my social calendar around Love Island, which is very sad.
Yeah, so I mean, clearly, because obviously there have been a range of things in terms of what people do. I mean, you've got a fabulous YouTube channel, lots of other sort of areas that work through on that basis. Is the Love Island focus something which, in essence, you're always going to have fond memories of? Or is it a case of, well, actually, these days, the kids who go into Love Island, they don't have it half as easy as they have it far easier than we did?
I think I'm always going to look back on it. I mean, they gave me my life that I'm living now, and why not? Why shouldn't other people have that opportunity? So I definitely look back with fond memories, and I can watch it now just as I watched it before I even went in. So that's one thing I'm definitely glad.
And in terms of the top three all-time moments as voted by Love Island fans, we mentioned one of them. I can't believe it's number two. Surely that had to be number one. It must have been a sort of type over. You know, I can't imagine anything from yourself, Shauna. It couldn't be number one. But anyway, number one, apparently Curtis dumping Amy just as she was ready to declare her love for him. Number three from season three, Chris and Olivia's dramatic relationship. Did you have any particular favourites yourself, either before or after your time?
I definitely think, when Anna went and confronted Jordan after he made her his girlfriend and then started talking to another girl, that was definitely up there with one of my top moments and also one of the most traumatizing moments, I think, as a viewer.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. People want to find out more about Vodafone's tremendous offer in terms of actually providing this additional Wi-Fi. Where can they actually go?
So if you just search Vodafone in whatever search engine you use, then you will find all of the details you need to get home with this Vodafone full fibre broadband.
And are there any thoughts, Shauna, in terms of looking at the current cast, do you think, I wonder how I would have reacted to them if they'd actually been on with me, or vice versa?
Definitely. Like I said, Ekin Sue, I absolutely love watching her. But if I was in there, I think she would have probably really riled me up. But watching her, she is just the dream. So she's probably definitely one that I think if I was in there, we would either be I think we'd be best buddies. But when she first came in, she came in like an absolute hurricane, and that probably definitely would have tweaked a few feathers here and there.
And for the growing multitude of Shauna Phillips fans, the SPS basically, who are actually out there, so the Shaunettes, let's refer to them as the Shaunettes, people actually follow your good self on social media and various other things? How can people stay in touch?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Shauna Phillips and TikTok at Shauna Phillips, and I'm on Twitter at Shauna P, and that is where I normally do all of my kind of Love Island commentary. So if you fancy some Love Island running commentary, that's where you can find me.
Tweeting with the best of them, which is fantastic. Shauna, we've got two final questions we always wrap up with on the Midweek Drive, and we do this even with Alex George, who's also become a regular over the last few years, basically. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yeah, oh my God, this has been... I love chatting all things Love Island, so this has been perfect.
Well, there we are. So the next critical question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of matters Love Island and, of course, what's going on in Shauna Phillips' world?
Please do, only if you have me.
The seventh annual robotics festival is with us, and indeed heading into all manner of marvelous things with respect to the world, the UK Festival of Robotics. And who better to actually keep us updated in terms of how robots are maybe becoming, if not our best friends, then maybe becoming more a part of our everyday environment than indeed the chair of the EPSRC and the UK RAS network. That's the fabulous Professor Robert Richardson. How are you, Robert?
Hi, all good, thank you. Great pleasure to be here.
Well, likewise, always good to connect with you, good self, Robert. I think we talked in previous years about favourite robots and favourite lines and that, the fear of robots, etc. But here we are, the seventh annual annual UK Festival of Robotics. And are people becoming more used to robots? I mean, is it a case of, despite the cost of living crisis, despite all the challenges we're faced with, ultimately having an automatic Hoover or a drone or a smart TV, or a smart speaker, or even one of those wonderful kind of interactive online systems is where we are most happiest?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So this year, we're interested in how perceptions are changing for robotics. And we've been asking people around the UK, but what do they think about robots? And I think it does show a trend toward people being more accepting of robots. So, for example, a third of people are open to trial robots in their houses. So that's quite a big thing. So it's not people who are just interested in robots. People who are saying, actually, you know, pretty cool, I'd have that in my house. We were interested in what people think robots are. So we asked questions about different products. So for example, 41% of people think of an automatic Hoover as being a robot. And that's certainly true. That goes in your house, drives around, it can sense things, it can do things. 40% of people thought a drone was a robot. And that's mostly true, although drones can be effectively radio-controlled toys, depending upon what they are. So they're not always going to be robots. But I think quite interestingly, there's definitely an association that technology itself could be a robot. For example, smart TVs and smart speakers work considered as robots, when in reality they're probably not. So they don't have the physical action that robots have.
Is that blurring of the boundaries something which we can really thank science fiction for? Because obviously many people think that androids are robots, and maybe to one extent they actually are, but maybe you don't actually have to look like a human being to actually be a robot, as Wall-E demonstrated.
Absolutely, yes. I think, so the definition of a robot, so a robot is really a physical system, but it can interact with the real world. It can physically move, touch, move itself, move other things. And that's kind of where the blurring is. People often associate AI, so artificial intelligence type things with robots. So for example, your Alexa, you can talk to it. It can respond by its by processing things, but clearly it's not a robot because it can't move around, it can't do things. So I think there's that kind of perception. But I think the reason that people, like you rightly say, people aren't are more accepting of robots is because they're more used to seeing them. So for example, robot lawnmowers, quite often I'll see them as I drive around, I'll see them in someone's lawn just pottering around doing things. For the last few years that I've been quite amazed, I've been marveled by it, but now it's just kind of quite normal. So I think people understand much more there are these devices that aren't necessarily humanoid, android type things, but they are devices that could actually do things and do things that are helpful.
Students of the natural sciences and the biology subjects and so on are well aware of the seven characteristics of life, everything from movement, irritability, sensibility, excretion and reproduction and so on. Are we getting to the stage where we're thinking about a similar thing with respect to robots? I mean, certainly nanites technology on the microscopic level would seem to have the ability to replicate.
So I think that there's some characteristics that are similar, but I think, we're a long way off that. So certainly robots to make robots is possible. The different scales, that can be done. The taking in of energy in all forms, so of course it can be electric power, but also there are robots that do some biodigestion, so taking things like crops and other things and digesting them and creating energy. So there are definitely those kind of mechanisms. But of course, the definition of life, as I see it, in terms of thinking, reasoning, systems are certainly a long way off. So there are mechanistic things that are similar. And I think as humans, we are inbuilt to give things empathy, to try to give things reason. So sometimes, for example, I had a robot vacuum cleaner a few years ago, and it kind of brought on a life of its own. It was very simple, didn't do anything. But I would find myself occasionally talking to it or occasionally wondering what it'd done. So you can't help but give this kind of embodiment, but it's not inherent in the system, it's just the humans giving it to them.
Is that a bit like the Tamagotchi syndrome, where we actually care for the actual artificial life form just on the basis of, well, it's what we do?
Absolutely. We can't help ourselves. And we do, I'm sure we all do it all the time. There are things in our lives that we see all the time and we have a bit of affection for, even though there's no particular reason why. We just do that because we're human.
So what about the UK Festival of Robotics then? Is it a chance to really celebrate all good things robot, and robotophobes need not apply? Don't worry, we're not dealing with the fear of robots. We're dealing with how robots can be our helpers.
Absolutely, yeah. So the UK Festival of Robotics runs from the 18th to the 24th of June. And it's really, as you say, a celebration of all things robotics. And across the UK, we have online events. We also have face-to-face events again, which is wonderful. So people can get involved. People who are experienced will get things from it. But also people who don't know anything about robotics can learn from things. So a few examples of the kind of things we've got going on. We have a Robot Lab Live. This is on Wednesday. It's an online event. And we have 9 labs across the UK simultaneously doing demonstrations. So you'll be able to log on to it. You'll see a grid of different labs. You'll be able to click between them and see what's going on. And I think the great thing about this is actually live demonstration. So we can all produce lovely, glossy YouTube videos and show things that are working. But it's much harder to do it for real and do it live. So I think you'll go in there and you'll see the challenges and also the beauty of what we're doing in robotics. Other events of interest, perhaps, then we have on Thursday, we have an event, which is an online event again. How do you start a career in robotics? For those who are up and coming GCSEs, A-level students who are thinking, actually, you know, robotics are really cool. When they get involved, they can go online, they can attend this event and learn much more, interact with people about the kind of questions they have and what's going on. We also have a live version of our podcast. We have a podcast called Robot Talk Live, so please do check that out as well. Over the last few years, we've got loads of episodes on that, all kinds of things. We've got a live version there on Monday, so people can go online and see that live. So loads of things online. In person, we have events such as the National Rail Museum in York, have an exhibition on the future of public transport. Of course, a big thing. How can we have autonomous vehicles that can transport us around? Other examples, we have the UK Atomic Energy Authority and Abington, who do the fusion reactor stuff. So really high tech, real world leading stuff. For the first time, they're opening their doors to their race facility so people can go there. They can wander around. They can see what's going on in terms of the robots and that sort of thing. So a really good interactive event if you're down there. And there are loads of things across the UK happening that people can get involved and get engaged with.
Certainly seems as though we're entering a golden age when it comes to robots. Of course, there's the other aspect we haven't really spoken about, Robert, which is they can be used in many ways for space exploration, deep sea analysis as well, and hopefully making our lives slightly easier. Question is, of course, can we get a robot to replace our current Prime Minister? Because surely they could do a better job.
Well, I think I'll stay on part of that. I'll need robots to answer that question.
Good point. Professor Robert Richardson, huge thanks. And just a reminder, where can people go to online to find out further information, Robert?
Yeah, so please do go to our website, which is ukras.org. That's ukras, as one word, .org.uk. On there, all the events that we have, you can go on there and find out more. Or our Twitter account, which is ukrobotics.
You haven't quite moved into the notion of TikTok as yet, though.
Not yet.
It'll happen.
Again, the robots can do that.
Exactly. Professor Robert Richardson, huge thanks. Take care and be well.
Yeah, thank you.
They didn't know where he was going, but they knew where he was, wasn't it?
Stay to see.
it's a regrettable fact that the cost of living crisis is impacting a whole range of folk, with nearly 2 in 5 households having to go without an essential product such as toilet rolls, soap, washing up liquids and so on, and over 3 million adults in Great Britain relying on charitable support in the last year. Now, to actually address this research from InKind Direct, we're delighted to welcome from InKind Direct, the wonderful Roseanne. How are you, Roseanne?
Good, lovely to be with you. Thank you so much.
Well, likewise, but it's great to connect with yourself, but really sad to see this research in terms of a large number of people, nearly two in five low-income families who've had to go without essential products.
Absolutely. It's such a hard reality. And we're hearing from our network of over 4,000 charities that, you know, that this need for these essential products is only growing at the moment. 83% of our charities that speak to us regularly have said there is increasing need for toilet roll, deodorant, soap, and people are having to make those tough decisions between, you know, energy bills that people are having to pay. We hear today about the cost of food increasing in our shops. And so long before people have had to go to food banks, they, as with this research shows us, they've had to forego but purchasing some of those essential items.
We've just been acknowledging, obviously, the Platinum Jubilee of Her Majesty the Queen. InKind Direct is obviously celebrating its Silver Jubilee this year, 25 years since it's been established from that point of view. How is InKind Direct effectively, I mean, this charity obviously founded originally by Prince Charles, how is this charity actually managing to address these issues and connect people with obviously some of these essential products?
Well, for the last 25 years, we've been providing a very simple solution to product giving. We receive donations from manufacturers, retailers, and brands, and then we sort those and distribute them to the thousands of charities across the UK that then are able to support their communities and make their, you know, small resources that they have go that bit further. So, you know, we're always looking for those key essential items to be donated to us from manufacturers and retailers. That's really critical. And we're always looking for more charities to come and be part of the InKind Direct network. And as we celebrate our 25th year, we know that as we look to the next 25 years, and in the particular time we find ourselves, there is this increasing need.
I mean, looking at some of the figures, very impressive to see that InKind Direct in 2021 alone actually saved charitable organisations in the network £27 million. So it makes financial sense, presumably, to obviously be connected, no pun intended, with InKind Direct.
It does. But, you know, we know that products alone are not the answer to the challenges. But actually having the right product at the right time can make a real difference to people's self-confidence, you know, sense of dignity. You know, I was speaking to Marion this morning, a single mum from one of our charities that we work with in London. And, you know, she has benefited from these products from InKind Direct. And she's saying to me that, you know, actually being able to get up every day and know that you can feel fresh and clean and ready to take on the day makes a huge difference. For many of us, these products you can take for granted. But when you're making those tough choices, which we are hearing from our network, that actually it makes a huge difference to your mental well-being.
Some of the products that most needed, of course, personal hygiene products, we've mentioned that, toilet rolls, dental care, soap, period products and so on, household cleaning supplies such as washing up liquid and washing powder, and indeed technology such as laptops, tablets and clothing, including footwear, all pretty much in the list of what we would refer to as essentials, I would have thought.
That's right. And I think that, you know, as we go into the summer period, as we come into sort of school holidays, we're going to have more children who are out of school at this time, who might have been relying on school meals, you know, families that are having to support during that holiday period with play and toys. And we want to make sure that what is essential for every family that we are able to support through our network, those that need it. Every week, we're working with about 250,000 people. And our ambition is that, you know, we know there's a greater need out there to be working with 600,000 people in the next few years. So key donations, like you mentioned, are absolutely vital.
For the benefit of the listeners of the Midweek Drive, Siren Radio, Southside Broadcasting and so on, how can they help? How can they actually get involved with respect to this project? And what are you looking for?
great question. And we would, you know, I think all of us most probably at the moment know of charitable organizations who are supporting making a difference. Many of us have got involved in our local charities, particularly during the pandemic. And I would really encourage people to, you know, look at inkinddirect.org and you know, suggest to the charity that they may be involved with, register. As you say, we are there to support and make a difference to enable more communities to thrive. At the same time, you might know of a company or a manufacturer that has some of those essential products that they are able to donate to us in kind direct. Please send them our way. It's a real appeal in our 25th year to ask for more of those essential product donations. And we would really appreciate the support from, you know, those companies so that we can reach even more charities in the months to come.
Well, you're clearly doing excellent work. I mean, in a real sense, I'd like to feel that we lived in a society which didn't need your work to be done, but sadly, that's not the case. We do have situations where that's needed. So for the moment, Roseanne, from InKind Direct, huge thanks, and keep up the excellent work that you are doing.
Thank you so much.